The art of customer service is getting lost. The need for customer service is greater than ever. I don't know if people don't care, if it's falling by the wayside, but it's no longer the focus of most places. And I think the customer service kind of mixed with the knowledge and just being there for the customer. I think altogether are things you can't get anywhere else to the fullest extent you can at Midwest TV and Appliance.
Midwest TV and Appliance, you get more for your money.
Cooley Region Cooks Thursdays, 10 to 11, we get together with people who like to have fun in the kitchen. And my guest today is that guy that you've always wished lived next door or was, you know, somebody you met at the office, someone you could talk to about, hey, doctor, I got this great recipe. My doctor says I can't eat it anymore because it's got so much fat or so much oil or so much salt or something. You got to help me with that. And I met the guy. He is Dr. Cheng Her from Tilo Functional Medicine. And we're going to eat a little healthier, but still be happy. In fact, eat healthy enough that, although you're already married now, you fed somebody healthy and they liked it so much, they married you.
That's exactly right, Mike. We had a great time. First date.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
You fed her. She liked it so much. She came back for more and she married
you. That's correct.
Right. That's awesome. And Tilo, I want to cover that too. Tilo is an acronym. Tell me about that.
Actually, Telos is Greek, though. The whole word refers to purpose. So if you're familiar with teleology, the reason or purpose or something. So Telos reflects an end goal. Not typical, but on occasion you'll see a little an acorn as sort of the symbol of Telos because it becomes a mighty oak tree.
Oh, sure.
So the purpose of the acorn is to become the mighty oak tree. So I spent probably way too many months coming up with that for my business name. But I love the idea of Telos because that's, at our clinic, that's what my purpose is. And that's what all our clients, our patients and families come for is trying to realize their purpose. It's a little bit lofty for those who don't know what we do, but that's what drives our vision and mission. And how that figures in with food is, well, what's the purpose of food? It's not only just sustenance, but it's a glue. It gathers people together. It brings us into the kitchen to have fun. And, you know, as a former fat kid, I like to eat. I like to eat in good company. And I like to eat really, really good food. I will take time to pick the greatest ingredients. And so my purpose is what runs through my life. And it just makes sense that when I built out my clinic, we would name it something cool. Meaningful.
Well, can you help people that have that same lofty goal, but not the same internal drive or ability to go to the grocery store and in their head make that favorite recipe into something healthy?
Absolutely, we can. Mike, part of our intention is at our office, we focus on a lot of things, but our major drive is to get folks back in the kitchen. And when the time comes, we'd love to invite you to come by. Our waiting room is a kitchen.
And really?
It is. Absolutely, it is. You come right in.
That's my favorite kind of waiting room, waiting to see the doctor. What are you doing? Making lunch.
That's right. So folks will come in. My staff will be having lunch, and we love it. It's for us as much as it is for all our patients and families. So it's not a prop. It's a real kitchen. It mimics anyone's given kitchen. There's a heat source. There's a stove. Sorry, the heat source is a stove, and then there's ovens, there's a refrigerator. We really wanted to mimic someone's home. It's a residential. Cool. So, yes, we can. That's our goal, is to have maybe one-on-ones, but group cooking classes where we, in general, will try to not limit, but try to build basic skills. And we don't necessarily want to create five-star chefs. But we really want to be able to enjoy ourselves in the context of spending time with one another and food. So 1 to 3 knives is all you need. 1 to 3 ingredients. 1 to 3 hours spent with people. 1 to 3 people. That's the whole concept. We don't want to scare anybody off. And we don't want to threaten people. A basic vinaigrette, come on, let's just do it. It's so easy. And then you can build on it. French technique with your omelet. It's really simple. But if you get those techniques down, it explodes into all sorts of skill sets. And then we have an outdoor herb garden that will be growing right outside our entrance. It's a garden bed.
Sure.
Get those herbs So real simple. Doesn't have to be super fancy. We're not going to sous vide anything. We're not going to do any souffles. It's really straightforward. And the thing is, that is a distraction. The food is a distraction. Yes, you're hearing me. For the community that we're trying to rekindle. That's where the medicine is.
Well, yeah, and the glue.
Yeah.
The food is going to keep people together because it's not prepared yet. Now it's prepared. I got to eat it. Now you're going to eat it. And throughout that entire period of time, there's conversation.
Absolutely. And folks will sometimes surprise themselves like, holy mackerel, I actually made this vinaigrette. It's actually not that bad. And so we're trying to demystify.
And no one died.
Yeah, no one died.
We laughed about earlier.
Yeah, that's right. That's great.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. There's a restaurant up in Winona that has their own herb garden, and it is has become fun for the customers who are sitting having a glass of wine waiting for dinner to realize that's our chef.
Yeah.
What's he doing? He's out there in the garden picking the herbs that are and spices and stuff that's going to go on our fish that he's about to prepare.
Absolutely.
I guess that's about as fresh as it gets. And he'll wave and knows, you know, that the ingredients are as fresh as they can get because a minute ago they were still in the ground.
Yep. A couple of steps from the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Is it scary?
Is what scary?
When they come to you. Well, and so a typical client, it comes to you wanting to lose weight or has a health issue, or who is that person who calls you to make an appointment?
You know, Mike, it can be scary. Oftentimes, at the risk of generalizing, there's typically three categories of folks that come see us. One category is an individual who has exhausted what they perceive as their current resources. Their current providers are not necessarily able to understand where their perspective is. They will have probably of their own accord researched and done so many things on their own. And this is usually in the context of chronic conditions, autoimmune conditions, chronic cardiometabolic issues, namely heart attack risks, diabetes. Those are just a few things, but it's usually chronic conditions. We don't typically see someone coming in with an ear infection or a broken leg, but the folks who've been grappling with something for a long, long time.
Okay.
The second category are folks who are interested in optimizing their care or their health. They have a fairly worrisome family history, and they want to head things off in the past. They want to come in, so we do some preemptive testing and then really optimize their health and their well-being. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily anti-aging or lifestyle medicine driven, but that's what we do. And then the third is we have a smaller population of high-performance athletes who come in who really want to improve their recovery time, their muscle function, but mostly their recovery time, and then maybe, you know, increase their performance just a little bit, you know, beat their Birkebeiner time by half, 30 seconds or a minute. So that's roughly what we have.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so what is it that pushes that person to call you for the first time? When they're just frustrated that they can't lose any weight, or the doctor says you're going to change your medication, and you can work with that person and maybe keep the medication from happening at all or being upped.
You're exactly kind of right. You're exactly right. A lot of folks will come usually with a bag of supplements that they have put together on their own. They want me to help to.
Are these any good?
Yes. Are these good? Am I doing it right? And then there's another subset of the population. Sometimes it's superimposed. It's the same person who is concerned about their medication or what we would sometimes call polypharmacy, lots and lots of medication.
Sure.
And so, yes, we do see those individuals. They're frustrated. They're sometimes feeling as if they're not being heard in the current setting where they're seeking care. So people will come to see us to help them sort of thin out their supplements. But that's just really superficial. Folks will come to see us because, number one, I think this is not a cut on anyone, but we are deep listeners. We really sit and listen to someone. In fact, we have a fairly intensive program where folks give us tons of information. Before I get to see them, folks will have talked to my coach and my laboratory specialist, and I'm the third person of contact. And in that interval, we've had lots of information. So we know lots about this individual. So yeah, we can help folks lose weight. And oftentimes the weight loss is a lovely side effect.
So people don't necessarily come to lose weight. They come to improve their health And also, by the way, .. lose a little weight or maybe lose a bunch of weight.
Exactly. I've had a heart attack, doc, and I don't know if these medications are going to work for me anymore. This blood thinner, I'm worried about this because I'm bruising. It limits my lifestyle, or I can't think. I'm confused. I'm not as crisp as I used to be in my cognitive functioning. Some folks will come in primarily because they can't lose weight. But we when the time comes, maybe we'll have another discussion about, you know, the metabolic function and inflammation and how that results in weight accumulation. So
how many times do you talk with someone who's come to you and said, I've tried everything?
Almost
I've tried all these diets and all these pills and all this medication, I've tried all this stuff and it isn't working. I've even tried hypnosis and crazy, you know, hippie medication, and you're kind of a way out there doctor.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying you too.
I would say it's about 75% or more of the time that's part of the dialogue is I have tried, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm frustrated. You're kind of our last hope. What can you do for us?
Traditional paths haven't worked. You're a non-traditional path. And then you have to convince that person that I think we can help you.
Oh, yes, exactly. And I'm proud to say that I've come to this because I am a classically trained allopathic physician. I've gone through med school, residency, fellowship, and I have that powerful foundation. And it's not a liability. It's an asset.
Absolutely.
So I have those perspectives.
Working hard to try and help you. Tello. Functional medicine, Dr. Chen He. Let's talk about food when we come back. Cooley Region Cooks, Thursdays 10 to 11. We get together with people who like to have fun in the kitchen, and we will definitely have fun in the kitchen of Dr. Chen He, who's, by the way, waiting room. We'll have to talk more about that. The waiting room at his office is a kitchen. Just love that. By the way, Cooley Cooks at WIZMnews.com. If you ever have a question or a suggestion, I did that right. I thought you were giving me the eye. Cooley Cooks at WIZMnews.com. If you ever want to get in touch with me or with Courtney, and we would love to have you be on the program at some point. And the t-shirts, if you want to wear your dedication around, BigMuddyTees.com. From Telos Functional Medicine, my guest on Cooley Region Cooks today is Dr. Chen He. When did you decide, way back, because you have all of this skills and the MD and the PhD and the history, the schooling of every doctor that's listening to this program. But at some point, you decided that you were going to take a path and go this direction with your skills, with your medical knowledge and your ability to help people in a different way. When did that happen and how? What was it that changed your path?
You know, Mike, I think it's always been a part of my personality. I was always that kid that kept asking questions in class until they sent me to the library to help the librarian.
Yeah.
Or to send me down to the kitchen to help the cook because I had exhausted my teacher's capacity. So I keep asking. It doesn't mean that I push, but I ask questions and I spend time. I spend time getting to know folks. And the current climate of practice is such, particularly in primary care, I think a lot of my colleagues would appreciate that there's a lot of challenges trying to be a good physician. There was a time I was full scope delivering babies, doing emergency room call, and at one point, you know, helping out in the intensive care center, which was what my dream was.
Sure.
And then you age, you get older, you have kids, and you realize that you're not doing a young man or a woman, young woman's job anymore. And so it became a little bit more challenging for me to kind of live that ideal in my head. Like a lot of folks who do the kind of medicine that I do, you know, I've had some personal medical issues arise in my family and my loved ones that forced me to think, in addition to what the resources we have, it just sort of forced me to ask more questions in a more acute way. And so, interesting, I went back to my own childhood. I'm of Hmong ancestry, and so I have aunties and grandmas who are herbalists, who are very, very talented. And so I looked back at that through the scientific lens in which I was trained, and I saw something powerfully emergent happen. And I'm not the first one. People do this all the time. But then I realized that I needed more space. How should I say it?
Sure, sure.
I love my colleagues at my former institution. That's really my family that allowed me to grow and then supported me and I think encouraged me. In fact, they helped me to create this while I was there. But the time and the climate just wasn't going to fit. And so I decided, okay, so now's the time. And my youngest was going off to college. It was, you know, a good transition.
Perfect time, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, raise your babies and then raise another baby in your business. And so that was always something in my mind. It just sort of came to a head in the last 5 to 10 years when I started really thinking about what my future is going to look like and how aggressive I was going to pursue this fully integrated approach to medicine.
Well, and the fully integrated part really has me interested because most of the time, I think a patient who has something going on says, "Doc, it hurts right here. Well, let me do a little investigating. We'll take some pictures and let me write you a prescription. Come back in 2 weeks and we'll see how it's going." That maybe it was the way you did it, but with your history and the knowledge of your family and the way they did things, that wasn't going to work for you.
Not really. Not
I like
really.
The fact that, you know, write me a person. I have a good friend whose doctor said, "Well, I got your numbers back and you have two things. You either have to give up beer for the rest of your life and never drink it again, or I'll write this prescription and you'll take a pill." And he said, "Give up beer? Me change my diet 100% forever till I die? Write the prescription because I'm not going to do that." And I'm guessing you've had lots of clients in there who have, when you say, "Well, diet and exercise are going to be your future." And I get that. I could probably up my exercise a little bit, but I don't know how to cook healthy.
Yes.
And you're right there to help them with it.
You hit
in your waiting room.
You hit right at that point. It really isn't that. Well, this is not condescension. It's not that difficult. You know, I want to try
It's not difficult. It's scary.
It is scary.
Which makes it seem difficult.
Yeah, so come spend time with us. You know, we're mimicking a kitchen. Spend time with us and see how non-threatening holding a prep knife is or, you know, mincing garlic is. And just really appreciate what that mint smells like in your hand. So when we demystify and we decrease the anxiety of folks
sure.
cooking for themselves, it really is the beginning of something grand. It's a return.
How do you start with the new guy who's in your waiting room right now, Mike? He has some knife skills and some knowledge of a variety of ingredients. He knows how to mince garlic, but he doesn't really know how to eat healthy. Now we got to help this guy who's on the path. He might even be on the right path, just not far enough along.
So we asked Mike, "What kind of music do you like to listen to?" And then Mike tells us,
"Rock and roll."
Okay, let's put some rock and roll on our speakers. So we got to create an ambiance. We got to create stuff. And this isn't trying to be overly scientific, but we need to bring your adrenaline down.
Okay.
So we bring in a context that is fun. We bring in the music that you like. I'm not going to wear a tie. I'm going to be in the kitchen with you, sleeve rolled up. Two guys, two friends just having a good time. So we play your music in the background. We're not distracting you because I'm very careful. I don't want you to lop off a fingernail or anything. So I'll be paying attention. So we create a tone. And ideally, you bring someone you care about. So there's usually, you know, a couple of people. And then maybe we have a little beverage, right? We put together a little bit of a mojito or something. Let's just say.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Alcohol, right? So the process itself, the end product is delicious food, but the process is the key. We've already achieved what we want to achieve when Mike walked through the door. And that's the whole idea, is to get you near. The proximity between you and someone who cares about you, someone who cares about what you love. Even though we don't know exactly, you just told me rock and roll. Okay, let's put some rock and roll on. We'll put on our playlist. You bring your playlist, we'll run it in our speakers and we'll have a great time.
Sure.
And then likely beforehand, what do you like to eat? What is your favorite food? And we can deconstruct it and say, look, you can still enjoy it, but what is it about the food that you like? It's the fat, it's the salt, it's the sweet. Well, we can do the same thing. For example, if you like bacon, and I'm not in any way not a fan of bacon, I love it, but you create that buttery tone by toasting pine nuts. You could put that into a salad, or you could put a little bit of
toasted pine nuts instead of bacon?
Not one for one, but
oh, okay.
You're right.
All right, but really?
Yeah. I mean, when will the time?
I'm going to eat that with my eyes closed and say, you know what? Damn, I'm really disappointed, Courtney. That guy was right. I had this great salad and there wasn't any bacon in there. And you're not talking about, are you talking about eliminating bacon?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm not talking about eliminating anything. I'm just talking about proportions.
Okay.
And in fact, opening up your perspective to all the foods that typically folks don't engage in. So
okay.
I won't quote it, but generally people rotate through maybe 5 to 7 meals, 5 to 7 kinds or types
that
of
makes sense
that they're comfortable with. What we're trying to do is just adding a little bit of flourish on the perimeter, and then people get excited and they say, well, hey, maybe I'll reach for that baba ganoush, or maybe I'll do a little souvlaki this time, and maybe I'll do a little bit of homemade pho broth or something. So we're encouraging people to step through the gate. So you know, classically, we would talk to people about elimination diets, and I'm trying to change the verbiage because it seems so stark. It seems so unfair.
Right, and so difficult to accomplish. Exactly. Elimination diet? You mean I can't have that anymore?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to work for about 2 weeks.
Exactly. And so we aren't trying to do a bait and switch. We're just trying to tell you this is a way to connect. And you can make a really, really great meal, and you forget about all those things that perhaps you're accustomed to. Now, again, I am not against any particular food, or I'm not a pro any particular diet. I'm about creating diversity in your nutrition, how to make it delicious and fun.
Well, and I like that. We're not on an elimination diet. We're on an expansion diet. We're exchanging a few things,
It's
still going to taste the same. I'm loving that idea. All right, we're Coulee Region Cooking with Dr. Chen Herr from Telos, functional medicine. We'll talk a little about favorite recipes, because he said, well, what kind of food do you like to eat? You know what's really difficult? I know, I got to stop. He said you roll through 5 or 6 or 8 recipes all the time forever. I thought, man, are you in my kitchen? Are you watching me? Because yes, that's exactly, sadly, correct. We'll be right back. Region Cooks, Thursdays 10 to 11. We get together with people who like to have fun, transformative fun in the kitchen. And I should mention and thank very much our sponsor for the Coulee Region Cooks program, Midwest TV and Appliance. You'll spend a lot of time in their kitchen with their tools that make life a lot easier. And I say that from experience, because my kitchen at home right now is full of their tools. They're going to be used in a different way. Thank you, Dr. Chen Herr, for transforming your favorite recipes into something that's just as tasty, but a little bit different because, well, as we mentioned in the outset, toasted pine nuts along with bacon equals the same delicious flavor, not as much bacon. All right, so now we got to talk about transforming those flavors in your mouth, because you've got a three-person, a mom and a dad and a kid. Dad loves everything because he cooks it. Mom loves most everything except a few of those things. Kid's 10, he eats everything. Unless it's, you know, chips and cheese or nachos, but not green olives, only black olives and so forth. So you got to sort of look around vegetables, only raw vegetables, peas right out of the freezer. They're little green bullets. I can hardly believe he's eating them that way. So how do you begin to make the adjustment,
yes,
from food that you bought at the grocery store, or better yet, when the farmer's market comes back, fresh things from the market, come home, put them on the table, and figure out a way to make everybody happy with a meal.
That's a great introduction to a conceptual thinking. So in an ideal world, the three of you are going to the farmer's market, and the child gets to pick. Or the three of you are going to the grocery store, so the child is invested from the very beginning.
Sure.
Studies have shown that when kids at schools raise vegetables, they will eat those vegetables.
Oh, sure. That's an experiment that's been going on in Holman for many years.
Absolutely right. So I'm not necessarily trying to expand or inflate my response, but it's a really comprehensive approach.
Sure.
If you have just...
And logical.
Yeah. A pot of herbs in your window is a simple start. Maybe a little plot in the back where maybe, you know, your child is raising peas or carrots or something. So conceptually, that's something that you could work toward. But pragmatically, if you can, meal prep together. So there's not one person who's the commander-in-chief doing everything. I know it takes a long, long time. And it took a long time at our house, but that's what we did. We involved our kids on the weekends. Everyone was busy. Sundays were our days. We would shop together as often as we can. The kids would get to choose what's on the menu items. We would get to, hopefully in a democratic way, figure out what predominantly we were going to make. But sure, everyone enjoyed it. And that is still part of the most important thing that still echoes with me. The food, the recipes that we use kind of faded into my memory, but it's those moments. And so you're nurturing that relationship as well. And then it makes the negotiation less fractious.
Painful.
Yeah, right? And you get to taste along the way. Oh, honey, what do you think about this? Or son, what do you think? Hey, throw a bunch of those herbs in. Give me some of those frozen peas you're chewing on. Let me taste it. So you're creating a cohesiveness. And then before too long, you're going to get this emergent property where the creativity is going to come. Before too long, the child's going to reach over and say, hey, can I stir that sauce? You say, yeah, of course you can. Or you actively engage. That's the secret. You create this foundation that's really fluid. And then the technical elements are just, what do you get at the grocery store? What do you pull out of your garden? And which farmer's market stall you go to? That's almost secondary.
That's the important part, far as I'm concerned, because I love them all. In particular, when I go to the market and say, well, I know what it is now. What's that big purple thing? I don't even know what that is. Never mind. It's a what?
Yeah.
How do you cook eggplant? That sounds gross. I don't know. Here's how you do it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Suddenly it becomes one of your favorite things. And you realize then that there's 86 different kinds of squash.
And this is not, I'm not planted here, but if you can support, you know, a CSA where you get a surprise box. That's when I was a resident in Madison on a very limited budget. We would get a CSA box, and I've never cooked a sunchoke before. Well, I don't want to waste it. So you get creative. Right. But then you get surprises in there. So, and you're supporting local farmers. And so you're also creating and expanding on your repertoire a little bit, too. So I have to admit, I haven't cooked a sunchoke for a while since Madison, but at least I know what it looks like.
And you well, know, that's one up on me because I'm not sure. I think, isn't it a sunchoke? Isn't that kind of a pokey?
Yeah.
It's round. It looks like a ball with spikes. Is that it?
Yes.
No?
Well, it's reminiscent of any sort of, you know, bulbous tuber. It's,
yeah.
It's have you had celery root?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or jicama. It yep. has that kind of profile, but the taste is very, very different. I can't, it's a little onion. It's a little bit rutabaga. I just cube it and put it olive oil and roast it with the rest of my root vegetables. And
that's interesting because all the other vegetables you mentioned, I know what they look like. I know what they taste like, and I use them all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to, not soon as the farmer's market gets up and running in La Crosse, I'm going to look for sunchokes.
Oh, absolutely.
Me too, so just because. I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
But jicamas, I thought that's weird. That's some hippie thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It is really
you just
got
to not be afraid to eat hippie food. All right. Yeah. You mentioned at the beginning when you have a client that comes in, one of the processes that they go through with your staff is finding out what kind of food they enjoy.
Yes.
And then helping them deal with that. So pretend I'm the new guy and my favorite kind of food is Italian.
Okay.
So help me with spaghetti and meatballs that isn't, and with a bunch of sprinkle cheese with Parmesan on top. He calls it sprinkle cheese. That's can be relatively good, also relatively boring. There's
sure.
a ton of Italian foods that you can make that can still be really good for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the foundation of that comes from what you probably heard is the Mediterranean basin. So the Mediterranean diet. If you look at traditional Italian food, it's peasant food. Whatever vegetables you had from the garden and maybe a little bit of pasta. You know, so you've got your beans, you've got your vegetables, and then the pasta is a bit of a filler. So pasta, I am not anti-carb in any way. It's the proportions. It's the proportions. So let's just say classic spaghetti.
Sure.
Right? We're making a sauce, really straightforward sauce. If you're lucky enough to grow your own Roma tomatoes, super. Basil, and some people say, well, it's so ubiquitous. I love basil. It's delicious. So real simple, garlic, basil, and tomato. Great olive oil, and you just break it down. I like really nice, rustic sauce, so not like a smooth marinara. So if you're in my kitchen and we're cooking, Mike, we're going to go to our garden, hopefully your garden. We pull these things out. We rough chop it. We're playing rock and roll, maybe sipping on a little something delicious and chatting about each other's lives, getting caught up. And then you're smelling this in the background. Fresh cracked pepper, really straightforward marinara. The noodles themselves, you and I get to decide. If we're lucky enough, we'll make our own. We can make it, get some good semolina, have a little bit of fun, make roll out our own pasta.
Sure.
And by the time we do that, we will have snuck in some vegetables. So while we are preparing this, you and I will have been eating maybe some bean dip, hummus, right? So that starts to fill us up. So that by the time we get to the meal itself, we will already have gotten our gut moving a little bit. Our tone will be more receptive of food. And so we're not, bait and switching, because pasta is really good. But what we're going to do is in the sauce, we're going to really, really amp up the vegetables. So not even sneak in, but be really blatant about adding peppers. We could fire roast the peppers, add another layer of flavor. So when we toss it with the pasta, we're going to already have eaten the vegetables to dampen the carbohydrate load. Probably familiar with the glycemic index.
Oh, sure.
Yes. So what you're doing is you're slowing down the glycemic index. And you can still have all the delicious things that happen around a meal. Because you and I understand and appreciate that the meal itself is almost sort of a consolation. In my view, it's a distraction for the community. So we're spending time together. We're filling, we're building a friendship. And then sort of the gastronomy is almost secondary, but it'll also be amazingly delicious because we'll have created that sauce. So it's the timing. Eat your veggies, eat your protein, if you can, before your carbohydrates. That'll slow down the rate with which blood sugar rises. And it's important.
You won't be dying for a big bowl of pasta.
Absolutely. You will have filled your stomach up with maybe a great protein. Hummus is ubiquitous at our house.
Sure.
And so get some peas and radishes.
How weird is that, that all these regular, normal foods nobody likes? Get something weird like hummus, and it's a favorite.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
Tahini, you got your garlic in it. And when the time comes, we'll talk about the breakdown of all the biochemical activities of all those foods. It's an amazing thing to consider. So yeah, you can expand your repertoire. It's about the prepping. It's not rushing towards getting a meal. It's about enjoying the company and creating a tone. So that when your body eats that food, it's a different landing. The food in and of itself acts differently once it hits you. It depends on what your tone is. So if we're in Chicago traffic and we're trying to throw down some cheesesteaks, right? That's different than if we're sitting at your house. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The sun is setting and you and I are having a great conversation and there's delicious marinara in the back.
The sauce is on the grill.
The body acts differently.
Yeah. And it seems so simple.
It is simple.
Let's make it simple. Let's do that. All right, got to take a quick break. We will continue with Telos Functional Medicine, Dr. Chen Herr. I'm hungry just thinking about it. Be right back. Cooley Region Cooks. Thursdays, 10 to 11, we get together with people who clearly like to have fun in the kitchen. Dr. Chen Herr, who is Telos Functional Medicine, an opportunity for you, if you've explored all kinds of options that aren't working, to explore a different direction on your long-term health. And if there's weight loss involved in there, that's great. If it's another health issue, then that's the important part. The issue is that you can do it without long-term medication and crazy, even from a doctor, and you are that doctor who grew up in that culture of take a pill and call me in the morning. That you realized with your heritage and your family and so forth, they didn't do that back in the day and they lived to be a million years old.
Absolutely.
So they're doing something right.
Yeah.
And you find out that suddenly, hey, maybe it's food that's the diet and it's the switching of these ingredients that still end up with a really tasty thing that isn't so bad for you. So let's use this last segment, these last few minutes, doing a switch out. What do you want to make for us in our minds that would normally taste delicious, but be something you can only share if you've got eight people, because if you ate the whole thing yourself, you'd be in trouble.
Well, that's a fantastic intro. And so I'm a huge fan of cooking for a lot of people. So
When
I have family come down, it's usually scaled up quite a bit. And we have large pans at our house. So that's conducive to creating paella.
Oh,
it's a rice-based dish that is Spanish, but lots of rice-based dishes throughout the world. So we think about rice as a carbohydrate. The typical white rice you get is polished. It's a polished grain. And so if you eat white rice, it's going to get into your bloodstream a little bit quicker than if you eat brown rice and so forth and so on. But at our house, what I've done in the last half decade or so is when I make this rice-based dish, I switch it out for quinoa. And quinoa, for those of you who are familiar, it's a fantastic, pretty little grain that has all the proteins that you need. And it has a mouthfeel, not unlike rice. Now, I will tell you, full confession, it took me several years to fully commit to quinoa. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool rice-eating Asian kid. And so that was very hard to do. But you only find rice in my house now when I have relatives come. So for example, I would substitute quinoa for rice. And the cooking ratio of water to grain is almost identical.
What if, can you cook quinoa and rice together in
you
the same
can.
Bowl?
In fact, you can. Okay. I have done it before. Okay. Sometimes I will mix it up to a sort of like a multi-grain bowl.
Sure.
For my sister-in-law who loves bowls, we'll do multi-grain bowls with northern Minnesota wild rice, a little bit of quinoa, throw in some brown rice. And maybe if she wanted white rice, we could. But we do like grain bowls. It's sure. not, you know. So we used to do that as kids. In our home, it was primarily rice. We would have a bowl of rice and then whatever grandma and mom and dad were serving. So you would substitute that out. You'd have a great broth that you create from vegetables, or if you like to create your own bone broth or, you know, chicken broth, you sure. use that as your liquid.
Leftover Thanksgiving turkey or
yes.
the chicken, the rotisserie chicken that you just took apart.
Precisely. Put those bones in a pot,
oh,
put
baby.
Some water in there. And then you can doctor it up, no pun intended, with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of extra pepper. And that's a great broth. You could freeze them in little ice trays and just take those cubes out and drop them into your paella from time to time. Then whatever you want, whatever's in the garden. Classic paella, you know, has rabbit. I don't cook with rabbit. I use chicken. So you can even substitute shredded roast chicken. If you want in there, you could go okay. right from scratch
sure.
and brown the chicken up set aside. And then the recipe I use tends to have some sort of onion in it, roasted red pepper, lots of garlic. And if I'm lucky enough to find some really good chorizo, that's a sausage, Spanish style yeah. spicy sausage. And then at my house, there's always chili flake. So I'm sprinkling chili flake in and then you cook that up. This is where frozen peas come in for me. At the end, I will put frozen peas at the top of the lid and let that steam, and I just fold it all together. I like seafood paella too, so I'll cook the seafood to the side and then just assemble the paella in a big bowl. So the one switch out is really rice switching out for quinoa. And you can still enjoy this fantastic paella. Classically, it's served with bread. I don't serve it with bread. I just serve it with whatever my guests like. Maybe it's a bottle of red, a little white wine, and lots of great conversation.
And not bread. You just really try to stay away from carbs, don't you?
Yeah, although there is some really great, you know, for those who are gluten sensitive, there are gluten-free products out there.
I feel badly for anybody that's on that spectrum.
Yeah.
What do they call this? Celiac.
Celiac, yeah.
Yeah, God, I feel badly for celiacs.
Yeah. I do too. And insofar as we have a good amount of folks that we take care of with very specific dietary limitations, we can also expand their diet too. It really isn't, it doesn't close you off. It just forces more creativity. And so, yeah, so that's sort of the changeover. It's really rice for quinoa. All right, corned beef hash, classically with potatoes.
Potatoes, yep.
So if you get your hands on some really good sweet potatoes, it's a different kind of tuber. At our house, we love a just really sweet potato hash. And we call it sweet potato hash because we roast sweet pototatoes ahead of time. And then typically there's an Italian sausage recipe that my kids will cook up. That was our Sunday brunch when the kids were home.
Yeah.
We would spend lots of time together. My daughter would probably do the sweet potatoes. My son would be in charge.
Cook them the same way, cube them up into little bites. And,
cube them
you know,
into
like,
little bites, toss them in a little olive oil, black pepper, roast them in the oven, bring about a little dash of salt just before you serve, and then use that as your bed. And then you'd put doctored up Italian sausages on top of that. And then the toppings is the fun thing. Jalapeno peppers, whatever herbs you have. My kids are fanatics over cilantro. And so there's tomatoes. So we can have that. Variety. So incorporate the kids that they're in it instead of you bringing it to the table. So instead of white potatoes, and you can mix them up too. We just like the sort of the resistant starch that's in the sweet potato. And
sure,
your listeners
is the sweet potato healthier than a Yukon Gold?
Depends on how you look at it. But from our perspective, it has a lower glycemic index, which means the sugar hits your bloodstream slower.
Well, right now I'm just looking at it as a diced up thing in a fry pan.
And it is delicious. It is absolutely amazing.
But it will be healthier. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we leave the peel on. We scrub.
Oh,
we
sure.
leave the peel on, a little extra fiber.
I learned that from the folks on Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show.
Never peel it. When I used to tell my kids that, how come there's little specks in the mashed potatoes, Daddy? That's because that's the way Laura Ingalls Wilder did it, Life on the Prairie.
Yeah.
They didn't have a peeler. You know, mm-hmm. they just diced up the potatoes and smashed them up. And that's why they're kind of lumpy. And that's why they have little specks. Mm-hmm. And that's the way Laura Ingalls Wilder did it. Really? Yeah. Oh, man, these are my favorites. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Be sure and go home and tell Grandma that your favorite's lumpy mashed potatoes
yeah.
with little specks from the skin.
Yeah.
Hilarious stories.
Yeah. So these switchouts, Mike, are very, very easy to do. And so you're not losing. In fact, you're gaining more health.
Sure.
But you're still, the context is the same. You know, it's the morning breakfast. It's the after church brunches. It's just spending right. time with people. And you're creating this.
Well, I like the fact, honestly, because you even mentioned it. It took you a long time to make the switch from rice to quinoa, 100%.
Oh.
And I know a lot of people, and I've had quinoa a couple of times, and I thought, you know, it's not bad, but if I was cooking it at my house, I probably wouldn't. However, I've never cooked quinoa at my house. I've eaten it a few times.
Yeah.
But if you cook it the same way you cook rice, because in my house, in my big bowl of rice is white rice and brown rice and sometimes dried beans, but always a mixture, because somebody taught me a long time ago that brown rice is healthier than white rice. All right, but I love rice, but brown rice is pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, wild rice, because it's Minnesota. And so in that, my bowl of rice at home in the cupboard is a mixture of rice. I wouldn't feel badly at all about a mixture of rice and quinoa.
Absolutely.
The next time we want to have something, if you cook them the same way, that'd be great. I'm going to try that right away.
Well, consider this a standing invitation. Come by Telos, let us know, and we'll cook you some quinoa. We'll do something. It's going to be fantastic.
I'll wait till I'm really, really hungry.
Right. Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Not after spending the last hour with you.
Yeah.
Anybody that is listening this morning, who is the typical person who's going to call your office later and say, I heard you talking with Hayes. Here's my thing. Can you help me? Yeah. What is that thing that they want you to help them with?
Doc, I've got diabetes that I'm really concerned about, and these medications I'm not so certain about. And I'm thinking maybe the medications are harming me, but I don't want to say this to my provider. Or I've got an autoimmune condition, or I'm moving into menopause and I'm really having trouble and I don't know where to go.
All right. Telos Functional Medicine. Dr. Cheng He is my guest in the kitchen. You can call him 790-9292. 608, of course. Cooley Region Cooks, brought to you by Midwest TV and Appliance. Back next Thursday. Hey, you can find all the past episodes of Cooley Region Cooks on the WIZM app or wherever you stream podcasts. Also, hey, don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Cooley Region Cooks. Reach out to us at CooleyCooks@WIZMnews.com.